Today, if you've got a Bible, Psalm chapter 107. I'm going to look at one verse. There's 150 Psalms, thousands of verses. We're going to look at one. Psalm 107, verse 1. The psalmist writes, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." In one sentence, we have all the reason we need to give thanks. And the reason we give thanks, the reasons that Scripture gives us to be thankful people is there's two reasons, because God is good and because his love endures forever. You'll notice it says that God is good. God is good. That's very different than saying like Jason is good or Luke is good or Sarah is good. It's a totally different thing because if I say Jason is good or Sarah is good or Luke is good, those people can also be bad, right? So when it says that God is good, it's talking about his inherent goodness. It's talking about a goodness that doesn't have an on-off switch. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. God's goodness doesn't have an on-off switch. It's always on. Everything he does, everything he thinks, every action is good because God is inherently good. But it doesn't stop at goodness. It also says that his love endures forever, which means that his love won't ever run out. It's limitless. There's no end to the love of God. The love of God continues on beyond all your problems, beyond your life on earth, beyond Obama's presidency, beyond Trump's presidency, beyond the next presidency after. The love of God will continue on. It never comes to an end. It'll outlast your life on earth. It'll outlast your children's life and your children's children. And what this means is that thankfulness for a believer, for a person who's trusted God, for a person whose faith is in Jesus Christ, it means that thankfulness is a nonstop thing for us. It's a never-ceasing attitude for every believer because God's goodness and love are nonstop and everlasting. If God's love was hot and cold, if God's love was sometimes on and sometimes off, then our thankfulness could be sometimes on and sometimes off, right? If God's goodness was sometimes on and sometimes off, then our thankfulness could sometimes be on and off. But with God, those things are always on. We always have a legitimate reason to give thanks. Expressing gratitude is supposed to be an everyday thing because God is good and loving every day. So if you spend a ton of energy complaining or being grumpy or whatever, what do you suppose that communicates about God? What does it say that God is like if a ton of energy goes into complaining and grumbling and wishing your circumstances were different? Which I think is why Psalm 107 actually gives it as a command. Give thanks. It's not like just a good idea. Something we as believers are commanded to do. It's a matter of obedience. So because of this, it's really important that we understand that thankfulness is both an attitude and a response. Sometimes we forget what thankfulness is. So it's an attitude and it's a response. First of all, it's an attitude. Thankfulness is an attitude. It's a particularly favorable attitude towards God. Martin Luther, the reformer, 500 years ago, I love how he put it. He said, thankfulness is the basic Christian attitude. Like what, if you're going to summarize an attitude for a person who's in Christ, what would be the one word you would use to describe it? Martin Luther says thankfulness. Thankfulness should be normal. It should be common. It should be an everyday thing that sort of spills out of us when people bump into us. It's the most accurate and easy way to spot the presence of God in a person's life through their thankful attitude. And it only makes sense that a person who knows the eternal goodness and nonstop love of God will choose to have a heart that's consistently thankful, consistently favorable toward him. One definition of thankfulness is kindness awakened by a favor received. Kindness awakened by a favor received. So thankfulness is this attitude that's awakened in us as we receive favor from God. as we receive God's love and God's goodness, it awakens within us this kind and warm and grateful disposition toward Him and toward the people around us. God's goodness and love constantly benefit us, and so they awaken this attitude in us, this attitude of favor. Now, the second thing, so thankfulness on one hand is an attitude. On the other hand, it's a response. It's an action. Psalm 107 says that we're to give thanks, not just think thanks or have an attitude of thanks, but to actually express it. It's active. It's not passive. A tangible expression of thanks goes along with a grateful attitude. The two things go hand in hand, the attitude and the response. I really think that this part of thankfulness is underrated in our culture. And I don't know if you've ever had this experience before, but you think about saying thanks to somebody or writing a thank you note or giving a gift of to express your thanks maybe to somebody who did something for you. You think about that, right? But then... Maybe I'm the only one that's ever done this, but maybe you have too. I don't know. You think about that. Oh, I'm going to say thanks to that person. I'm going to give that person a note. I'm going to shoot that person a quick text. And then you just dismiss it. Like it gets stale, right? The idea gets stale in your head. And then there's no actual response. There's no actual giving of thanks. And I think sometimes we underrate that. We actually think that's not that big of a deal. Like maybe that's insignificant. And actually, here's the thing you need to understand. If you say thanks to something to somebody, it actually may be insignificant for them. You may actually show thanks to somebody and they may go, oh, yeah, you're welcome. It doesn't like change their life or alter the course of their, you know, you said thanks and, you know, I was thinking about marrying this person, but then I decided to break off the engagement because you said thanks. You know, it's not life-altering necessarily. It's not life-changing for them, but that's not the point. Giving thanks alters us. Giving thanks changes us. It changes us. It trains us not to grumble, but to be grateful. Going out of our way to say thanks or express thanks or give somebody something as a token of our gratitude is a discipline. It actually costs us something to say thank you, to express gratitude. You're going to sit down and you're going to write a text message to somebody to thank them for something they did. And you start the text and you start to write and you're like, oh crap, I actually have to think about what I'm going to say. It costs you time. It requires thoughtfulness. But that process is transformative. It changes us. I remember when I was a kid, I have an aunt. She lives in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And my Aunt Verna always remembers me on my birthday, always. And in spite of the fact that she lived across the country, she, when I was a kid, would always send me money at my birthday. And I remember my mom forcing me to sit down and write thank you notes to her. And I hated it. I hope Aunt Verna doesn't listen to the podcast because I love my Aunt Verna, but I hated writing my Aunt Verna thank you notes. I didn't want to do it. I'd rather, you know, go play video games or go play football on the street with my friends or whatever. And, you know, I would send my Aunt Verna a thank you note, and I'm sure on some level it touched her heart. But really that act of doing the thankful thing, even when I don't feel like it, that's more about how it trains me and how it trains us to be grateful people, how it softens our hearts. See, that's the point. That's the point of Thanksgiving. Now, it doesn't always come easy, does it? Sometimes the attitude part of thankfulness is the hard part. You know, you've got a really bad attitude about something that makes you mad or you complain about or you're worried about, maybe anxious. And it's the attitude that you feel like is hard to come by. Other times it's the response part of thankfulness, the choice, the choosing to express gratitude that comes difficult. Either way, what we have to understand about thankfulness is that it's a choice. It's always a choice. It's always an option. And here's the thing. It's even an option when we don't see it as one of our options. See, I think that's one of the most difficult parts of expressing thanks is that we're not always aware of it as one of our choices. So we have some circumstance in our lives that's got us down or discouraged or stressed out. And when that thing's in front of us, we forget, we actually lose sight of the option, the choice that we have to step back and be thankful. We lose sight of it. And so there's a couple of verses that I want to just look at really quickly that actually help us to heighten our awareness of the choice. That help us to see, hey, guess what? It is a choice. It is an option. Being thankful is an option. And these scriptures actually really help us. There's two of them. The first is James 1:17. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every good and perfect gift is from above. When we begin to realize that every good thing we have is from God, when we pay attention, it actually brings us back to the awareness that we learned about in Psalm 107, the awareness that God is good all the time, His goodness is always on, and that His love is everlasting. When we look to God and we begin to see that the very practical gifts that we have in our lives, you know, your favorite winter sweater, right? A good cup of coffee in the morning. You know, your bike that you really love. Your favorite chair that you sit down in and maybe study in or relax in at the end of a hard day. Those very practical things are gifts from God. Look, every good and perfect gift is from above. Every one of them. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Yet we have a tendency not to see the good gifts that we have in our lives. We have a tendency to see the things that we don't have, right? We're way more tuned into the stuff that we don't have. Everything in our culture plays into that for us. Marketing plays into that. Marketing, every time I see a Subaru commercial on TV, and I don't know if you've seen this one, but there's the Subaru commercial about you know, this dad who buys a Subaru, and you know, his little girl's tiny, and she's a baby, and he puts her in the back seat, in the car seat, and they go in their Subaru somewhere, probably awesome, you know. And then it's always safe, and then she grows up, and you're watching this daughter grow and this dad get older, and I can relate to both of those things, and you're, you know, and then the dad hands the keys to the Subaru to the daughter, right? And then she's driving. And then maybe he gets a new Subaru because they're trying to sell new Subarus, not old ones. And for, you know, she gets this new Subaru. And he buys it because it's like the best thing he can give his daughter, right? And we're trained, our culture trains us to not be happy with the stuff we have, but to think we always need a new one. That awesome cup of coffee that you like, that favorite chair where you sit and relax or study. To actually not see those things as good gifts from God, but to actually go, man, I need a different one. I need a better one. And when we fix ourselves on the stuff that we don't have, it makes thankfulness as a choice in front of us actually sort of disappear. So thankfulness is making the choice to acknowledge the good gifts that God has already given us. Every good and perfect gift is from above. And seeing the good in His gifts that maybe you've already become familiar with or jaded with. And as we identify the good gifts that God has given us, we actually begin to realize that the most precious gift He's given us is Jesus. As we take stock of all of God's gifts, pretty soon, and it doesn't take very long typically, when we start listing the things we're thankful for, that we get to Jesus Christ. We get to what 2 Corinthians 9:15 says is this indescribable gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. And Paul here is referring to Jesus. The gift is Jesus. The most indescribable thing that any of us has, that any of us have received is Jesus. Which means that we always have a choice to be thankful because we always have something to be thankful for because we have someone to be thankful for. What are you thankful to Jesus for? It shouldn't be a hard leap for us to think about forgiveness, acceptance, companionship, lordship. That Jesus is our master, that He's in control, that He has a better way than we could come up with on our own, that, that as we take stock of the good things in our lives, we see Jesus and all the things he's done for us. Everything good comes from God, and the very best of that is Jesus. So in a couple of minutes, we're going to practice giving thanks by writing out God's good gifts. Did everybody get a piece of paper and a pen when they came in? Hold them up if you got them. I think, yeah. Okay, good. In a minute, we're gonna write down. We're going to actually practice this. We're gonna actually choose thankfulness. We're going to choose to acknowledge that every good and perfect gift comes from God, and that he has met our very deepest needs through Jesus. Our hope in practicing giving thanks is that it'll actually become more normal for us. That it'll become that thing that Luther said, that it'll become the basic Christian practice. The basic Christian practice. And so we're gonna do that in just a second as we train ourselves to acknowledge God as a giver. Now here's what happens when we do this, when we choose thankfulness. And I said at the beginning that choosing thankfulness doesn't change our circumstances, but it changes us. When we choose thankfulness, when we choose gratitude, different behaviors are yielded in our lives. We actually respond differently. Instead of being people who complain and grumble and worry, we become people of generosity and joy. Generosity and joy. Instead of people who are angry and complaining and worried and anxious and overridden by concern, perhaps you're feeling that way about the election or maybe about a relationship you're in. You have this thing that's on the front of your head that is just overwhelming you, and you feel like it knocked you down and you can't get back up, and thankfulness, gratitude doesn't feel like it has any place in your life right now. That when we choose to give thanks in those difficult circumstances, it actually transforms us and forms us into people who are joyful, people who are generous. There's two incredible stories in Scripture that illustrate this. The first is about a woman who was a known sinner. She was, Scripture doesn't even give us her name. It just says that she's notorious for being a sinner. And this woman shows up at a dinner party where Jesus is attending this dinner party with some Pharisees. And the guy who's hosting this party is named Simon. He's a Pharisee. And they're sitting eating dinner. And in this culture, these dinners, particularly at the places of people whose homes are, you know, wealthy and well-to-do, their dinners weren't like in a dining room, a private dining room. Their dinners were sort of out in a space that was where the public could actually gather around and watch these people eat, like a courtyard. And so this woman is standing behind Jesus as these important religious people and Jesus are eating dinner together. And at some point in the meal, she walks up to Jesus and she sits down at his feet and she just begins to sob. And Scripture says that she's crying. She's crying so much that her tears are like, it's kind of, you know, when you're sobbing uncontrollably, it's getting everywhere. You know, I'm sure tears, probably some snot, just blubbering, right? Crying. And then she's taking her hair and she's wiping her tears off of Jesus' feet. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. It's just thinking about that scene makes me squirm a little bit. And it was, you know, 2,000 years ago. And I'm sure that the people sitting around there were squirming as well, because not only is this woman making an embarrassment of herself, not only is she just throwing all shame to the wind and just putting on this public display of gratitude, not only that, but she's touching Jesus. And if Jesus knew, he must not have known that this is a woman that had no business touching him because of her sin, because of whatever it was about her that everybody knew about, that Jesus is actually allowing this to happen. And what Jesus says is as Simon, the host, the Pharisee, begins to question, Jesus, what are you doing? Why are you letting this woman do this? Jesus explains, hey, she's been forgiven. I've forgiven her sin. And she's grateful. In fact, you think she's being too grateful, but she's just being generous. She's actually pouring perfume on Jesus' feet, very expensive perfume, as an expression of gratitude. See, gratitude brings about generosity. It brings about joy. It causes us to throw caution to the wind and to just say thanks in generous and profound ways. The other story is about a guy named Zacchaeus. Same thing. It's a dinner party at his house. And Jesus goes to this dinner party. He invites himself over to Zacchaeus' house. He's saying, hey, Zacchaeus, I want to be your friend. Zacchaeus is a known sinner. He's a tax collector. Everybody knows he's a bad dude. And yet Jesus befriends this guy. He comes to this guy's house, and the same thing happens. The Pharisees, the religious types, they watch Jesus interacting with this really broken guy, and they begin to question him. And while they're questioning him, and Jesus is explaining to them that Zacchaeus' sins have been forgiven and that he's come to seek and to save the lost. As this is happening, Zacchaeus, really wealthy guy, he takes out his checkbook and he starts to write checks to all the people that he's swindled as a tax collector. He writes checks to organizations that are working with the homeless. He chooses to give to the poor, generosity. See, gratitude, thankfulness, when we realize our sins have been forgiven and that we've been accepted and loved by God, gratitude naturally brings about generosity and joy. It transforms us. We can't stay in that place where we're complaining and bogged down because Jesus has done so much for us. May Jesus always be that kind of an indescribable gift to us. May his forgiveness, may his acceptance sink in to the very core of who we are. And may they transform us to be people who are generous and joyful. There's a woman in our church who told Tim that she writes down things she's thankful for in a thankfulness journal. And it's sort of a regular practice for her to write down what she's thankful for. She said, every time I'm having a bad day, I write down one thing that I'm thankful for or several things that I'm thankful for. And she said, it changes my day. It changes me. It changes my attitude.